Today's episode of Jeff Schwartz's Smarter Than You is brought to you by Robinhood. With Robinhood, you can invest in stocks, options, and ETFs right from your phone. You can even spend and earn interest on uninvested cash. And with fractional shares, you can buy stocks to any amount, including companies like Apple, Amazon, and Tesla for as little as $1. And that's with no commission fees or account minimums. So whether you're new to investing and ready to learn, or just looking for a better experience, stop waiting and join the 10 million Robinhood users. Listeners can get started with a free stock by going to jeff.robinhood.com. That's Jeff with a G, G-E-O-F-F.robinhood.com. All investments involve risk. This is not an investment advice, a recommendation, or a solicitation of any security. Other fees may apply. Visit rbnhd.co/fees. The free stock program is subject to certain limitations. Annual percentage yield on uninvested cash is paid by program banks and is variable. Robinhood Financial is not a bank.
Just very grateful for, you know, the experience of playing this year for this team, this organization, and over the course of my career too. So I appreciate it. I hope I have always, tried to do the right thing out there. And who knows what the future holds. So we'll leave it at that.
From The Athletic, I'm Jeff Schwartz. Dallas and Carolina have new head honchos. Tom Brady has a decision to make, and is Taysom Hill the best-kept secret in the NFL? It's Tuesday, January 7th, and this is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You. Welcome, everyone, into the program. What a wild and crazy wildcard weekend where, unfortunately, I was not smarter than y'all. I don't think I got one. I think I was 0-for-4 in straight-up picks this weekend. It was a wild weekend. 2 6-seeds win, which I didn't see coming at all. And now we have the Patriots dead and done. Gabe Goodwin, are you happy now? Your Patriots are done.
I don't know if I believe it yet. When I was in high school, we lost to this team. And then like a week later, it turned out they had an ineligible kid on the team. So we got put back in the tournament. We won the tournament that
year. Wait, they put you back in?
They put us back in even though we lost to an ineligible team. So they just advanced us. We beat the next two teams. Champs.
What sport is this?
This was basketball.
Wow.
Temple Basketball League, in fact. Sophomore year. Big thing for me and my friends. Could happen again for the Patriots. Stand by.
Derrick Henry is ineligible. The Patriots are back in the playoffs.
They're not only back in, advancing to the next round. So I'm not ruling it out until I see a next group of teams win.
I think for you and for most people's sakes, the Patriots are officially dead.
Dead.
At least this year. And this is what we're going to talk about. I don't know if it's next year. I'll let you go first because you're the Patriots hater. And I know you're reveling in this lack of success they had this season. But you pitch me why this is over now.
Well, okay, hold on, Jeff. So let's just remind everyone how this is meant to work. I am the internet, people. Okay,
yes.
I channel the feelings, the ideas, sometimes the literal takes of the internet. I pull them from the people you see on TV, the people you follow on Twitter, the fans who tweet at Jeff. That's where most of these ideas come from. Every now and then, though, it's just what this guy's brain thinks. With the Patriots, I admit my bias. Okay, so I'm going to dive deep into the Patriots. I just have to throw an over-under at you first because it's breaking news and a name close to our heart. Matt Rhule, hired by the Panthers. The great Matt Rhule. Over-under, 5.5 wins this coming season, Jeff.
Over.
Oh, wow, Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule, who you despise. Yes, you don't despise.
I don't know anything about him.
You don't understand that. So I text two of, well, we have this group chain of basically college football people. And one works for ESPN, one works for CBS, one works for NFL Network. And so I text the group today and said, give me your Matt Rhule stuff. And here are the answers. You ready? He's just a ball coach.
Yeah.
He's coached almost every position. Both sides of the ball, developer, not stubborn, will adjust to talent. Personality will not drive guys away. His players at Baylor love him. He coaches hard, but develops like crazy.
All right, wait a second. I didn't know he coached hard.
This is where I think what is advanced about him compared to other coaches, in my opinion. He says, my friend of mine met with two head coaches in college football this past week for his scouting stuff. And he said that out of the two of them, Matt Rhule has a great understanding of analytics, kind of biophysical traits and how to train players, things like that. So I think that that is a big part of this, is that he David Tepper, the Panthers owner, wants to be analytical. He wants to base his franchise around this new emerging trend of using analytics to build your team and to game plan and function in that manner. And I think that is why Rhule was hired. But dude, he took Temple, a perennial crap team, to 11 wins. He took Baylor, a team that had only won with RG3, a Heisman winner, to 11 wins in a big time bowl game. I mean, I think you're mocking him because you don't know him. But I think he's better than the mocking you're giving him.
I'm not mocking him. I'm mocking the media and those of us with takes out there who went from, I don't know who this guy is, but I'm now going to convince myself he's one of the best candidates for an NFL coaching job alive. The guy was 47 and 43 as a college coach at two programs that haven't won anything meaningful in a long, long time. And good for him for improving them. And I'm happy to a year, 2 years from now to say, you know what, man, Matt Rhule's a great coach. He's the football guy with a T-1000 analytical mind. That's awesome. I like this guy. I'm willing to give him the chance. I just didn't understand why we all had to jump up and talk about how he has to have a job. He's turning down the Browns. He's going to be the Cowboys coach. Why is all I ask. So here, guess what? This seems like a good fit.
I just gave you the reason why, but I also think that that part of it is, you know, the media obviously can hype up a candidate, right? I mean, we see that all the time where, you know, and we're going to talk about Mike McCarthy in a second, the new Cowboys coach. I mean, he did, a 6-minute video clip with NFL Network and went to PFF for 6 weeks or, 6 hours. And now all of a sudden he has, a new energy, and he's looked at much differently than he was 2 years ago. So we know the media plays a role in how this. I think Matt Rhule, though, and I mean, these are football guys that I talk to. I mean, I trust their opinion on this type of stuff. And when I've asked them about coaches before, they've been pretty right. So while he's not a big name, I think it's a good hire. And look, we see, Gabe, all the time that big names don't often turn out to be the best coaches. Right now, as we're doing this, the Giants are interviewing Jason Garrett to be their head coach, right? I mean, would you have Jason Garrett or Matt Rhule? You probably have the unknown, right?
I think I would take Matt Rhule. Again, I'm not hating on Matt Rhule. I just wanted to know how it is that we as a population of media takers went from, let me double check who this guy is and where he's worked before, to he must get hired this offseason. And I have suspected that he has very good people behind the scenes hyping him up and making connections for him. And
I think
you know
he's
what?
The same agent as like Urban and Lincoln Riley. He's got a big time agent.
I bet he does. And listen, let him go. Let him go show it was the right move. I think Carolina's a great job. You get the most exciting offensive player out there. You can do what you want at quarterback because we don't think Cam's coming back, which means you can decide if this Allen kid's your guy or you want to go draft someone or you want to, you know, sign someone. I think they got a pretty decent team all around. Like they probably could have won a few more games if they hadn't had to give up at the end of the year. So I like it. Good for Matt Rhule. I will not trash him ever again. I just thought the coverage of him was completely absurd. Let's get into the coverage of somebody else who I find to be easier to make fun of. And that's the guy you teased at the top of the show, Tom Brady. Okay, so a few things you need to know just in case you'd forgotten. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he went to Harvard. Antonio Gates played basketball in college, and Tom Brady is a free agent for the first time in his career. Get used to hearing it, everybody. It's going to lead every show until the day he signs somewhere. I think I'm with Vegas here. I think he should think about the Chargers or the Browns now that it doesn't look like Dallas is where he's going. There are other teams out there, though. Jeff, where does Tom Brady make the most sense to play? And please, please try to tell me it's not Cleveland. Cleveland makes so much sense. I want it so bad.
So
where's he going?
He's staying in New England.
What?
And I know it's fun to do the Cowboys thing that we've done for a little bit of time, but now with McCarthy there, that's not happening.
That's not happening.
So here's why I think it's New England. And Dan Orlovsky, who works for ESPN, I had him on the radio the other day. He made a great point about the money. So let's start with the money. That's what everyone's talking about, right? He's always taken less. And I've always thought that the idea of taking less because his wife makes a lot of money is kind of rubbish. Like, it's not that big of a difference in the money he's taken less of. And that I don't think his wife has anything to do with it, okay? I think he's taken less to help the team. And part of that is, and we've talked about this, is where is that reinvestment going back into the team? Where is he seeing that help him win it? Really, it hasn't, right? N'Keal Harry, the rookie this year, Sony Michel, they never replaced Gronkowski, right? There's issues they have in person on. We'll get to that in just a second. So, but Dan made the good point. Why now, at his age, would he want to break the bank? Like, why now would he want to go to the Chargers in a half empty stadium with no offensive line in a tough division just to make $30 million a year, which obviously in California is not $30 million a year. Like, why now would he want to break the bank? He could have done it many times in his career. So I agree with that point.
Well, okay, I do too, but can I just interrupt you for one second?
Go ahead.
The stadium wouldn't be half full with Tom Brady. That's the theory.
Okay. Do you think people in LA, seriously, you live in LA.
Yeah.
Do you think if the Chargers started 0-2 with Tom Brady, people would show up to the stadium for the third game?
No, they would need to start Leonardo DiCaprio to fill the stadium.
Okay,
But I think the theory is he would not allow them to be 0-2, and then the Tom Brady mystique would fill the place up the way the Kobe mystique did. And obviously, you know, LeBron's still a great player, but L.A. affords its stars a little extra. Zlatan came here and made people very excited.
But he was very – I mean, he was, like, very, very good, though, too. I mean, remember, he was making, like, crazy goals. And, like,
yeah.
And that stadium is tiny compared to the new one, which, by the way, you know, of course, every journalist who ever flies in L.A. has got to take a picture of it. It's like a journalistic code or something.
Yeah.
But dude, the stadium looks massive. It looks pretty awesome from above.
It is. It is going to be great. That's why they need a big star like him. But I took you off your point.
I understand that. The money's not that. So if Brady's still playing, he's playing to win, okay? Not winning in Los Angeles. All right. We understand that. He's not going to Dallas, not winning in Cleveland. So the question is,
why not?
Because ownership sucks. They have a terrible infrastructure there. The owner meddles too much. There's no history of winning in Cleveland. Does he want to play with all those divas at wide receiver? Their offensive line is awful. He's never had a bad offensive line. This year, a bunch of injuries, and they really didn't play terribly the other night. But they made it through. He doesn't want to go to Cleveland, okay? He's not going to Cleveland. He's not going to the Browns. He's never ending his career in Cleveland, all right?
Okay.
So and we can look, by the way, at other teams where Peyton Manning went to Denver. He had a great chance to win in Denver. He could have made more in Nashville. He could have made more with another team. Favre went to Minnesota. He went to the NFC Championship game. Like, he wants to win, right? Like, you want to win. The Titans are a good team if he wants to go win somewhere. I think if he goes there with their offensive line, their run game, their improving defense, obviously knows Vrabel well, that would be a good spot for him. But I think in the end, Gabe, is that it's mutually beneficial for Brady and the Patriots to figure out a way to make this work. Because the best chance to win is staying in New England. And you have to find a way to get these weapons. And look, N'Keal Harry, I think, will be okay with a full offseason. Remember, he was hurt a lot this year. But they have to get a tight end. They have to get another wide receiver. Like, they have to commit to getting guys that help this offense. Not just this being stubborn and not paying for guys. You're going to have to overpay to get some weapons for Tom Brady. Also, I think for the Patriots side, game. Is that if the Patriots let Tom Brady go, that's the end of everything. Like, I think that's the end. Like, everyone's like, they're an older team, and they're going to just cut everyone and just move on, and Belichick is probably leaving. I don't know if Belichick wants to coach a rebuilding Patriots team. So it feels like it's mutually beneficial for both of them to come to an agreement to work on the roster, pay Tom Brady, you know, a little below market value, and try to win again next year in the year after.
Okay. That's very logical. I would love to pick nits here with your arguments, but I can't. All of that made sense. There was a few parts of that I didn't consider. That made me smarter. Thank you. I guess I just have to dig into the, like, human being part of this. It's out there. These guys are aware that we all think they're breaking up. So you're saying this is like Brangelina here. Like, with every, you know, month at the grocery store. Do they still sell those magazines at the grocery store checkout line? You know, with the head?
I'm sure they do, but...
All right. Yeah. Wait, they've been breaking up for my whole lifetime, right? They were the hottest couple in Hollywood, and then for every month since then, we've been told, oh, man, they're breaking up. Oh, they're... And they never did. And they're still happy, it seems, and they're still, like, Hollywood's biggest couple, I guess. You're saying they're just going to get over all these rumors and all these reports and just go back to work? And just be Brady and Belichick forever and ever?
I mean, they're professionals, right? I mean, that's their job, is to do this. And also, I mean, look, Gabe, they've been together for so long now, they're going to have disagreements, arguments, and not like each other at times. But I don't know if Tom Brady at his age wants to start over with a new training staff, with a new weight coach, a new building to be in, a new way to install and watch film. And of course, some of those he'll bring over with him to a new team. But you know, a new practice schedule, a new way to do, you know, to handle fourth downs. I think he has a lot of control on what happens there. And I think that knowing and being familiar with the way things work is a big reason why they've been so successful. They just kind of do the same thing over and over again, and it just seems to work out. Obviously didn't this year. And I don't know if he, at his age, he wants to start over again somewhere else and try to do the same thing, you know, kind of create the same thing again. And maybe he's ready for that. Maybe he's ready to do something different at this age. But I don't know many, I'll call use air quotes, old guys in any profession that like to reinvent themselves at kind of the end of their profession. It doesn't seem like something that Brady would be really interested in doing.
All right. I'll buy that a reinvention at that age wouldn't be appealing, but I think that we're talking about with each of them, like, massive egos that he, at least Brady, hides pretty well, that are in conflict because, as we've talked about and you're suggesting, like, they can't share credit for this dynasty evenly. They each think they're the 51%, and until they break up and try to do it on their own, they can't validate that thought. They can't make that case to the public. So doesn't that mean something to each of them to just show they're the guy? I mean,
okay. But Belichick, I think Belichick's obviously very bright and he cares a lot about his legacy. Does he really want to be in charge of a rebuilding program without a franchise? Like, they're not set up. Like, Jimmy G's gone. Like, Brady won that. They're not set up to rebuild. There's nothing left to rebuild with. Like, if Brady leaves, are you drafting a quarterback at 25 and then Bill's starting over with a rookie? Are you, like, what are you
doing
at that point?
But doesn't he think that's workable? Doesn't he think he can pull that off?
I don't think he does. I don't think he does, because I think part of this is that they're a very old team and they have a bunch of guys that are free agents as well. But I don't think you're going to want to match up in kind of an old decaying team with a young quarterback. I feel like if you're going to do the young quarterback route, you're going to try to be young everywhere and take the 3 years it takes to kind of develop a team under that guy. Maybe Belichick is up for that challenge. And it's something that it's quite possible he's up for that challenge. But if it doesn't happen, it does tarnish his legacy quite a bit. So I think it'd be better if they just decided, hey, let's give it a year or two. And look, they might draft a quarterback this year. They might like go sign a Ryan Tannehill this offseason, have a quality backup behind Tom Brady in case something happens. Or, you know, I don't think they can afford to spend a high draft pick on a quarterback, so they're really not going to have a quarterback in the future. But find something to do to maybe start to build to your future. I just can't see Tom and Belichick being like, it works better for them if they all stay together.
Okay. Well, also, by the way, breaking news, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they are divorced. I don't know why I thought they were still together, but I think they've been divorced for years. It took a long time, but eventually that time came. So my analogy, often suspicious with my analogies, this one especially bad. I let me throw a few at you before we turn to the Cowboys. The other teams listed as possibles that I don't think we've touched on yet. So you talked about the Browns. You dismissed that one pretty quickly. The Carolina Panthers are similar bet in Vegas for a place where Brady lands. With the new coach, Matt Rhule, the genius, any chance? Just quick answers on these. You think
no,
yes or no?
No, not with the new coach.
Okay, the Las Vegas Raiders with Gruden.
Interesting. I actually think it could work, but I think Gruden, probably too strong of a personality. I would probably say no on that. But that's actually really interesting. They got good offensive line, young parts on defense. They had a really good draft last year. That team is fascinating to me. I could see, because in that offense, Brady would do well in. It's a West Coast offense, quick throws. They don't put a lot of stress on deep passing in that offense. So his arm strength will be fine there.
Great tight end, couple little shifty receivers.
I think that out of all the teams is actually very interesting. It's possible.
Okay. Bucks, we're going to say no because they re-signed Jameis. Broncos, that sounds like they got their guy with Locke. Dolphins are going to go use a draft pick, we think. Vikings might win the damn Super Bowl with Cousins. So we're going to rule all those out. So after all of this, would you say it's Patriots most likely, maybe the Raiders, maybe the Chargers, but it's a bad idea?
I think the Titans are a good one.
And Titans. Okay, well, we'll see. Let's say if they win another game with Tannehill, it's kind of hard to get rid of him, don't you think? I mean, I know it's Ryan Tannehill, but if he's gone on like a really hot streak and takes him two rounds into the playoffs.
Dude, he didn't play very well.
Well, he isn't very good.
Right. So then you probably want to move on. If you could, Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill, who are you taking?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm going with Brady. As much as I hate the guy, I got to take him. I mean, and I should clarify, I don't hate Tom Brady. I hate the idea of Tom Brady.
I don't know what he's like as a guy.
I've never met him. I don't know anything about the dude other than, you know, I know about as much as about him personally as I do Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, who I didn't realize got divorced in 2016. All right, let's move along to something else we know about football and the Cowboys specifically. So you mentioned Mike McCarthy off the top of the show. We know that the former Packers coach got hired as the new Cowboys coach. We thought we were on like some big, you know, recruiting mission by Jerry. We thought they were going to do something sexy and splashy. We'd speculated about rumors of, oh, McDaniels and Brady would go over there. We liked that idea. In the end, they just go with Mike McCarthy. Skip Bayless, the world's biggest Cowboys fan alive, a buddy of mine, I want to say, tweeted this. After Coach Clapp, Jason Garrett, I wanted some charisma, magnetism, fiery leadership. Mike McCarthy makes Jason Garrett look like a dynamic motivator. So I think Skip is summing up what all of us kind of thought with this hire. Just like, okay, I guess Mike McCarthy, that's not how you turn things around. What are we missing here? Why was this maybe a good move?
Well, we've been over this before, haven't we? You're the one who brought this to my attention. Boring is good, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Boring is good. Yeah, okay, so this is interesting for many reasons. One is that obviously there was no big public search, right? We heard about Marvin Lewis and we heard about Mike McCarthy. That was it. And it felt very obvious that the Cowboys wanted to target an experienced offensive coach to help Dak Prescott, which makes a lot of sense, right? Because that's your number one asset. And you have to make sure that you get him developed. And so they went that route. Now, did they talk to Urban Meyer? Probably. Did they call Lincoln Riley? Probably. I'm sure that they put out feelers on Matt Rhule and all those guys, and they might all said no. But it's very clear.
Wow, Matt Rhule turned him down?
It's very clear they wanted an experienced offensive coach to make you know, to have this job. They also was reported they wanted Dan Mullen as their college coach, which he's known to have a long record of developing quarterbacks. The one thing that's interesting about McCarthy is the way we talk about him. And this goes back to a little bit of the Matt Rhule discussion. So in Green Bay, he got stale. Now, I know that a lot of his players, TJ Lang, he loves Mike McCarthy. And you might love Mike McCarthy. He might be a great dude. He seems like a good guy. But his offense did get stale. And part of that is Aaron Rodgers didn't do what he was supposed to do. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. But number one was that it just got stale. There was no motion. There was no uniqueness to the offense. No new plays. It got stale. So this past year, we've seen through Peter King interview, through NFL Network piece as well, that he has spent this offseason, or this season, I should say, watching film and deciding how to prepare for his next coaching job. Went to PFF for 6 hours, and he decides he wanted, you know, a big analytic team, an 8-person analytic team in his new job, and some new ideas and whatnot. The thing I caution, Gabe, is we've kind of heard this before from a lot of coaches, that they're going to change, and they most often don't. So if McCarthy does change and becomes a different coach, then this is a great hire. If he becomes the same old coach he was in Green Bay, probably not going to be a great hire. So I guess the question is, do you believe everything we've heard about him the last month, that he has kind of rebranded himself as this forward guy and has always been a guy that embraces, and he has gone for a fourth down more than most have, which is a big, you know, analytics movement idea. But I don't know, man. He's got to do something different in offense. He's got to come out with a different offense.
Okay, so let's unpack a little bit of this. I don't think you can fully understand Mike McCarthy until you sort of look at his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And you really got to go back into the history of this. Well, you know, so Mike McCarthy signals the change from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. Rides Aaron Rodgers for a decade through some of the best quarterbacking we've ever seen. Maybe comes up a little short in terms of rings with just one, but like explosive offense with a world-beating quarterback almost every year. Then after, you know, they've been together for a long, long time, it seems like Aaron sort of dips on him. Aaron just is tired of him and doesn't want to listen to him. And all the reports last offseason were like, yeah, man, Aaron just ain't coachable any longer. McCarthy's given up. He's lost the locker room. Rodgers has lost the locker room. It's a mess. Okay? So my question about Mike McCarthy is that his fault? Is that Aaron Rodgers becoming too big of a personality and being too strong-willed? Like, what's the source of blame there? Because if he's successful with Dak Prescott, the same trajectory would happen, right? Like, Dak would turn into Aaron and get sick of Mike and stop listening to him. And would Mike just fold up like he did for 3 years in Green Bay? I don't know. I really don't know. So, you know, that I think is part of why, does this guy deserve another chance? Was it him getting worked by his quarterback, or was it him just being kind of a lazy coach by the end of his career?
I don't know if we have a great answer for that. I think if you look at what's happened this year with Matt LaFleur, and this is a diamond a little bit on McCarthy, that they're 13-3 this year.
Yeah, I'd say.
And there seems to be issues at times during, you know, in games. It happened a lot in that Lions game with the Packers, where Aaron Rodgers kind of just was doing his own thing for a little bit. Again, it felt like he was not in the rhythm of the offense, which has been a problem, and that is a problem in McCarthy's offense. Now, the reason why that happened in McCarthy's offense was because he didn't trust McCarthy to basically call the right play, right? He'd gotten so boring and stale, and that people knew what was coming, that Rodgers just did his own thing, okay? So it's a chicken and egg thing, right? Like, did Rodgers do his own thing because he doesn't like him? Did he do it because he didn't trust McCarthy? Did McCarthy then not like Rodgers? Like, I don't know what came first, but there was dysfunction there in Green Bay. Now, Dak Prescott's younger. He seems to be more open to you know, probably McCarthy's offense and designs. He does not seem like a guy that's going to go out there and just do whatever he wants. He doesn't have the natural gifted ability that Rodgers does. Rodgers was able to do all this stuff because he's just that gifted, and he's able to throw the ball not in rhythm because he's got a cannon of an arm and great accuracy. Dak is not Aaron Rodgers. Dak can't afford to not play in the system. So that's why I think it's going to be different this time around with the chemistry between Dak and McCarthy, but it doesn't mean they're going to win Super Bowls.
That's good explanation. Thank you for that. It would require then that Dak Prescott, who would get max money as a quarterback, also then think of himself as a system guy who has to listen to the coach instead of the top guy out there. And we know that he's starting to feel himself right now. So I worry, because it seems like he's walking into a situation he has not really been able to manage before. I would also make this point. Being a head coach is not exactly the same, but something like being a producer for a really big name talent, right? And there are times when I've seen producers just kind of throw their arms up and go like, I can't do anything. This guy's not going to listen. He's just going to do what he wants to do. He wants to make the first segment of the show all about this random crap no one cares about. I can't talk him off it. I'm just going to sit here and make sure the graphics look good. And that's all they do. And that's sort of the same thing it seems like Mike McCarthy was doing with a talent like Rodgers. Just like, I can't do anything. He's just going to throw it wherever he wants. What do you want from me? I'm going to just take a few days off. So I kind of understand the thought process. It's just that ain't going to work in Dallas.
Correct. And so I think, look, for what McCarthy said about just, you know, wanting to reinvent himself, I mean, this is part of the reinvention, and we'll see if he actually does it.
Do you buy this? Charles Robinson of Yahoo tweeted, here's something about Mike McCarthy that should encourage Dallas Cowboys fans. Remember how down many people were about Andy Reid when it unraveled in Philadelphia? What Reid needed was a change and a fresh start. Good, successful coaches can have great second lives in the NFL. Do you buy that?
I mean, Andy Reid made 5 NFC Championship games. Like, what are you talking about?
Okay, I didn't think you were going to buy that.
What are we talking about?
Go, cape up for Big Red. Let's hear
it. I don't understand. Andy Reid was great in Philly, too, the entire time he was there. It's like minus like 1 year.
All right, but do you buy the idea that like a fresh
start, of course. That's a thing.
Right,
but
bad example.
I don't know why Andy Reid was the problem. I would have used like Belichick as the example, who was okay in Cleveland and became great it's so interesting how, and look, I get it, how much a Super Bowl win changes the way we look at coaches. If Andy Reid had a Super Bowl win, he'd be untouchable, which our next topic, I think we're getting into that from the Saints side. He'd be untouchable, but he doesn't have that ring. So like McCarthy's talked about in the same sentence as Andy Reid, which is kind of disrespectful to Andy Reid.
Yeah, I agree with that, except that also, you know, you got to win a ring if you've coached in the league and you're considered one
of the
best.
Right, which is correct. No, and that's fair. And he's had failures in the playoffs, but I just don't think he has like his, I don't think he has the respect that he probably deserves because of that.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, so you sort of mentioned the Saints. Sean Payton gets plenty of respect because he has a ring. And he's had great offenses, great teams for most of the last 10 years. A few down years, but mostly overachieved in New Orleans. And has obviously helped turn Drew Brees into a Hall of Famer, but Drew Brees is 41 years old and starting to tilt in the wrong direction, we think. So they lose the other day, and the net result of that game, besides being just a heartbreaker for Saints fans, is everyone on Earth, everyone on Twitter, including Drew Brees, I would add, is in love with Taysom Hill. Here's Drew Brees talking about Taysom after the loss.
He's unbelievable. I mean, truly, there's nobody like him. In fact, I think on that drive, I think he might have been the guy to get the first down, and then he throws the pass, and then he's blocking for Alvin to score. I mean, come on. It's the NFL. This is the NFL we're talking about here, right? Not, you know, Pee Wee.
All right, so Drew Brees is loving on Taysom Hill, and he's right. The guy can run, catch, block, throw. He almost won the game for the Saints. So he was in the game late in the fourth, took a direct snap for a huge third down conversion. Two plays later, takes a snap for a 28-yard gain, gets him to the 20. Looks like they're going to score a go-ahead touchdown. Then, Drew Brees, sack fumble. Ball goes the other direction. They limp their way into OT. They lose an OT. I saw people saying, why didn't they stick with Taysom? It was working. Now I see people saying, it's time to move on from Drew Brees. We got Taysom. He should be the quarterback. Jeff, is this dumb or really, really dumb?
It's really, really dumb. Okay. I think you called this in a text message this weekend that the people will be calling for Drew Brees to get the heave-ho. And by the way, one of the best tweets of the weekend about the situation was put out by PFT Commenter. If you want to check out that tweet about Taysom Hill and Tebow, it's fantastic. I know that fired
Wait. You can't just tease it and tell people to go look at it and then not tell them what he said.
All right, let me pull it up here.
I'm ready for
right
this.
Here. You ready? Taysom Hill is faster than Tebow.
Bullshit.
Better passer than Tebow.
Shut
More
up.
Christian than Tebow.
Wow.
Better punt protector than Tebow. Only question now is, can he hit better than 179 in AA?
All right. That's okay. That was the secondary part of this topic, is a comparison to Tebow. I want to get into that for real because I think it's unfair to Tim. But
of course,
Taysom Hill got everyone excited because, you know, he's a change of pace guy, and he picked up some first downs, and Drew said it. He can block. He can catch. He's an everything guy. But should he be the replacement for Drew Brees? Is that where we think this guy should be?
Real quick, this is a breaking news right now. It's important to discuss because I don't know who this person is. The Giants are hiring Patriots special teams coach and wide receiver coach Joe Judge.
No, come on, that's not a person.
It's a real person, Ian Rapoport.
Joe Judge?
Yeah.
Man, they missed out on Rule, didn't they?
Yeah.
They had to go from Rule to Joe Judge?
Yeah.
That's going to be the head coach? Or
yes.
Like... Okay, what do we know about Joe Judge? Zuri's throwing his arms up. I've never heard of the man.
Never heard of the man.
Okay.
Do we make like an all rise joke for the judge or something?
Fire away. This is live, man. I mean, like, we haven't had any time to plan for this.
I don't know what do you even say to this?
Listen, I'll tell you what. One thing is sure. The New York Post headline writers are throwing everything on the board right now. Every judge pun you can think of is going to be considered for the back page this morning. Wow. Okay. So we're going like way down the list of guys. They didn't even try to get McDaniels. They went for some dude who reports to him.
Who reports to Bill.
Okay. Wow. Joe Judge. Well, I guess I don't have to ask if that's the answer in New York. We don't know and we don't think so yet, right? This kills Sheck's theory. Sheck thought that the Giants were going to bring Belichick himself, not like some clipboard holder for Belichick. He thought Bill was going to New York. Guess not.
I guess not. Wow.
Gather yourself around that idea before we go back to Taysom Hill.
I don't even know. Like, okay, well, let's go back to Taysom Hill. Sorry for the interruption, but important news breaking the podcast. Got to cover it. So here's the thing about Taysom Hill. The Saints should have Drew Brees next year. Taysom Hill, you only threw the ball 8 times this year. It's really great that you can have a guy that can throw the ball, can run the ball, can block. Drew Brees, all right. It's a great change of pace. But the problem I have with the Saints is they came out flat again in a big situation, and they continue to make little mistakes on the coaching side. I don't know why Sean Payton – well, I do know why he gets a pass, obviously. He won a Super Bowl. But they lost as touchdown favorites in Seattle. They lost as 8-point favorites here. Even last year, I know the pass interference was obviously an issue, but there were game management issues. There were game management issues on Sunday as well. The way they used the clock at the end of the game, the multiple third down weird play calls. Why does Sean Payton get a pass? His team is continuously good, but doesn't ever cash in on it. And they almost look worse sometimes in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it looked like Taysom Hill was going to be his new magic bean that got him out of that criticism, right?
Right.
So leaving the timeout, you know, he didn't use it when he could have. And his secret weapon would have been the way he advanced and got the people off his back. But then he pulled him, right? Right when Taysom Hill started getting rolling, literally, he went back to Breeze and Breeze fumbled. So,
well, yeah, I mean, that look, I get why you go back to the Hall of Famer. You know, there's only part of it too, Gabe, is there's only a limited number of plays kind of in that Taysom Hill package. Like, he's not running Drew Brees' plays. You know, there's probably 10 plays in that package, and eventually the 10 plays are up, and you just can't go, you know, obviously teams will figure it out pretty quickly what you're doing. And so you probably want to save a couple of those plays for later in the game or another, you know, next week or whatever. So I get why they went back to Drew Brees.
So explain that a little bit to fans who are listening, and maybe this seems obvious to people, but what you just said is important. Whenever the new sexy thing comes along and everyone sees one great drive, and with Taysom, we've had a few of these, like he's blown up Twitter a few times this year, where it's like, oh my God, look at that, he's catching the ball now. Oh my, he ran for a first down. Look at him throwing it. He threw the deepest completion of the year for the Saints, or the deepest in a couple of years, I think.
The ball's in the air for 12 seconds.
Yeah, okay. So, like, everyone thinks he can do everything, but if you actually put him on the field for 60 snaps a game, you're saying he's exposed quickly? Like, he's just some guy?
Well, I know. I'm saying that right now, the package they have for him in a game is, because Teddy Bridgewater is the backup quarterback, not Taysom Hill.
Right.
The package they have for him in games is just a limited Taysom Hill package. So it's like, you know, it's probably more than two runs, but like four or five runs, right? They have probably a quarterback sweep. They have, you know, the zone reads. They probably have one other, you know, a quarterback power, let's say. And then they have maybe one or two passes off of that. I mean, that's probably it. Five plays. I mean, it's not like they have a bunch of plays for him at quarterback. He's not running Drew Brees plays. So that's why, like, eventually you just can't, I mean, you can keep doing it, but you really don't have all that in. You're not practicing it terribly much. You're practicing the plays for Drew Brees all the time. So I get why they went back to Brees.
Okay. And so next year, Drew Brees looking kind of old, set some big records this year, but overall, you know, didn't look as good as he has always looked and lost this big game at the end. So they go back to Brees and try it one more time?
Oh, yes. They have to. Yeah.
All right. Interesting note. Thank you, Zuri. Taysom Hill, named after Taysom Rotary Park, located in his hometown in Idaho. I don't know why that is. I won't speculate about why his family named him after a park, but I mean, maybe he was destined to be a football guy, you know, named after a field. Let's move along. Number four topic of the day. Even though we snuck in some Matt Rhule and then, of course, Joe Judge, now we're going to get to something we planned, which is a big game between the Chiefs, who are big favorites this weekend, against the Houston J.J. Watts. J.J. and company will be playing Pat Mahomes, coming off a bye and a six-game win streak. But the worst loss of the year for the Chiefs in the AFC came against those Texans. Troublesome. And that was without J.J. Watt, I will remind you.
No, I think he would play that game.
Oh, well, I just wanted to say his name one more time.
Because they don't show enough on the telecast?
No, never enough.
You need to get it in? Let's go, guys. Come on, let's go.
They should have a mega cast, call it a J.J. cast, and just have a screen up of him at all times so we can always look at J.J. Watt, because I've never gotten tired of that. Deshaun ran for two touchdowns in that game. Hyde ran for 100-plus in a touchdown. Their run game worked against the Chiefs. It was a problem. And jokes aside, now they have a better looking, the Texans have a better looking team overall. Okay, so, and I don't know. I'm worried about those Chiefs as huge favorites. I feel like this could be a big, big problem for them at home.
All right, so, I know you're doing this just to troll me.
But, no, I'm not.
The Texans are not a good football team, all right? No, they're just not a good team. Now, they're in the playoffs, obviously. They won a game they probably shouldn't have won because the Bills' offense cannot stretch out any leads because Josh Allen, we saw how that went down. But, you know, the Texans are basically Deshaun Watson and and Hopkins, and if Fuller plays. I mean, they're three guys. And those three guys have to make up for a lot of coaching. Do you know that, that Bill O'Brien has now coached four home playoff games with the current, you know, with this current kind of team? And I know Deshaun Watson wasn't there for one, for maybe one or two of them. How many times has he been shut out in the first half of four home playoff games?
Three?
Yeah, three. Three. Playoff games, been shut out. That's atrocious. That's terrible. They're just not a good team. And I think that we need to get in. And if you look at DVOA, which I enjoy, of course, for Football Outsiders, it measures efficiency, right? So, you know, if it's third and two and you get a 3-yard run, that's obviously good. If it's first and 10, you get a 3-yard run, that's obviously bad. So that's how, I mean, that's the easiest way to put it.
Yep.
Houston is 23rd in the NFL right now in DVOA. The other seven teams in the playoffs are one, three, four, five, seven, nine, and 12. Houston is barely holding on. Barely. Their defense right now, their weighted defense, is one of the worst in the NFL. They're 27th in defense at the moment. They're not very good. And I think that we often forget that earlier games in the season between non-division opponents, I think, are weighted too heavily the way we look at things, right? The Chiefs in week six were missing, I think, Tyreek Hill's, it was first game back from injury. They missed Sammy Watkins, Hitchens, Eric Fisher left tackle. Mahomes was beat up. They didn't have dudes, okay? This is they're both different teams. The Texans are better on the offensive line. J.J. Watt's back. You know, Fuller is injured, so that changes the way, you know, that they play in the game. The Chiefs are better defensively. They're healthy now. I don't think this game is actually close at all. I mean, there has to be, like, a bunch of weird plays, which, unfortunately, the Chiefs have had, unfortunately, in playoffs, but I cannot see this game being close.
Like weird plays like J.J. Watt playing tight end? Like in
something like that,
in the
yes.
red zone? Something cool like that with J.J. Watt? Don't you think, though, that like J.J. Watt's presence makes Deshaun Watson better? No, that must be a real thing. You play football. Don't you think some defensive guy can inspire his...
I think that sack he had inspired the team in the game, so yes.
Why are you accepting this total horseshit out of me? Why would you go say yes that?
No. I'm saying that exact play helped the team because they held him to a field goal. Like, I don't know. I don't think J.J. Watt makes Deshaun Watson better, but I think that that exact play he had.
Yeah, well, him doing his job, it makes that if he's good on defense, they're a better team. We know that.
Right. So that's my answer. I don't think emotionally it means anything.
I don't think even
By the way. Oh my God! Matt Rhule got $60 million from the Panthers.
60? My guy, Matt Rhule, man.
7 years, $60 million.
Can't wait to hear what Joe Judge is getting.
I know.
All right, we're spinning off the rails here. You think the Chiefs clobbered the Texans? You're on record saying you don't think it's close. Vegas thinks it's not going to be close, and you're saying more than that. I'm surprised. For all my J.J. Watt jokes, I do wonder if the defensive unit can keep it closer than most against the Chiefs. And Watson looks like, yeah, it's ugly. Yeah, the first half is almost always garbage for the Texans. But the second half, that dude's a magician.
Yeah, but if you get down 21-3, you're not beating the Chiefs.
I don't know, man. Deshaun seems like he can kind of do anything in the fourth quarter. He's really got it. And that's such a stupid thing to say. I have nothing to support that other than he always figures it out. That play... to help them win on Sunday was outrageous. Just outrageous.
Correct.
And I don't think there's anyone left in the playoffs who can do that. Lamar could arguably like do it, but then he just would have kept on running. Like, he never would have been in that situation in the first place. They wouldn't have gotten two guys on him. I just think he's the best scrambling playmaker there is, especially late in game. So I it's probably going to be the most fun game to watch this weekend. Over-under was 50.5. What are you taking on that?
I would lean under.
Lean under, okay.
Yeah.
All right. You really betting on the Chiefs defense. You have faith in them. I like it.
This week I do, yeah.
Okay.
Because, and I'll give you one more thing why before. This is an actual like smart thing, not just a jokey thing. The Texans are very bad at when teams pressure them, they let a guy free all the time. Like on the play Deshaun Watson made, they never make adjustments to that. For whatever reason, they let Deshaun Watson throw hot all the time, it's called all the time. The Chiefs blitz a ton lately, and they're going to find ways to get guys in his face, and that Houston has shown no ability to adjust to that whatsoever.
Okay. Well, I mean, We're going to find out what comes of all that. I'm watching Honey Badger this weekend. That's the guy I want to keep a close eye on. I think he's going to make some plays.
We're down to 8 teams left in the postseason, and The Athletic has specific shows for 4 of those teams. If you're a Chiefs fan, you've got Times Hours with Seth Kaiser, Nate Taylor, and Josh Briscoe. The Vikings, check out Straight Cash with Chad Graff, Arif Hassan. If you're a Niners fan, check out Here's the Catch with Dave Lombardi and Matt Burrows. And if you're a Seahawks fan, your show has Seahawks Man to Man with Michael Sean Duggar and co-host Christopher Kidd. So listen or hate listen to any of these shows as the playoffs continue, and we'll work our way towards Super Bowl 54 in beautiful Miami.
We're going to move the line. Over-under game we like to play. Days after the Super Bowl, before the NFL changes this absurd PI rule. 0.5 days.
After the season's over?
Well, as soon as the season ends and it's time to change things, how long does it take?
Oh, it's the first thing that they change at the coaches' meeting, like in March. Done. Okay. First thing. It's bye-bye. Goodbye.
Do you think that at this point we're all just piling on? Like,
yes, I'm tired. I am so tired of the whining about officiating. I'm tired of it. Look, we had 508 plays this weekend, and 2 of them people were whining about. Just 2.
Yeah.
Okay, it was a good weekend of officiating, folks. All right? I don't think they should overturn that OPI. And yes, if you want to flag to Jadeveon Clowney, sure thing. But at full speed, which is the way the game is played, it looks like a clean hit. Obviously, slow motion is a little different. Was he trying to hit him in the back? Yeah, it was a dirty hit, most likely. I don't think it's like a thing that's so offensive that we need to clutch our pearls about. But in full speed, which is the way the game is played, mind you, the officials probably thought it was a clean hit, which I would understand in full speed, which is the way officials see the game. I think the whining about officiating, Gabe, is getting out of control. The reason why you guys think the game is being ruined, even though ratings continue to go up, I think they're up 7% this weekend. Most watched wildcard game ever, right? Patriots-Titans. Sorry, Titans fans. It wasn't for you. And the reason why you think it's being ruined is because you are trying to ruin it by your nonsensical whining all the time about officiating. Just grow up, everybody, please. We understand that OPI at the end of the game was not being called. It was never being called. That exact play happens 15 times a game. All right, just because it's the end of the game doesn't make it any more important than it does in the third quarter. It's just the whining has got to stop. Please stop it.
So you're, just to clarify for people, you're referring to the Rudolph,
yes,
OPI. Okay, fine. So I think if that's not against the Saints, we also aren't talking about it.
Correct.
I don't think that's just an official's complaint and that theme. That's the ongoing, you know, next year, however the Saints are eliminated, we're going to have to look to some conspiracy there just to prove that it's the fourth year in a row. So, okay. I mean, I'm with you. I think we all got to stop crying about it. It was an overreaction to put some of these rules in place. It will be the right decision to get rid of some of these rules. We should all toughen up and watch football and accept that there's going to be some contact, and calling this game is hard. You said 508 calls and 2 are being debated, and 1 probably doesn't need to be debated at all. So that's a pretty good weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Over under 7.5 rush yards from Marshawn Lynch versus the Packers this weekend.
I'll just go over for fun. I'd probably nothing.
He rushed for 7 yards, but a touchdown. 7 yards last week against the Eagles. You think, is there any reason to keep him in the game plan? He's served his purpose, right?
And he had a great like stiff arm, great stiff arm on a pass play.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, we knew they were pretty transparent. They signed him for like a boost of energy. It got him, you know, the win they needed. It's now it has them with momentum in the playoffs. Who knows what they might be able to surprise people this Sunday afternoon in Green Bay. I mean, Marshawn is part of the new energy, but he isn't the best running back on the team. This guy Homer looks like a better ball carrier.
No, look, Marshawn Lynch was never going to be the best runner on this team.
Yeah, I mean, Russell, by the way, you've talked a lot this season about how, notice that Russell, as mobile as he is not a guy who runs when it counts. Well, he ran 9 times for the most yards of any of them this weekend.
Well, because he doesn't, that's not what I said. What I said
is that, like misquoting you, Jeff, it fired you up.
What I said is that he is not, I would not consider him a rushing quarterback. I think he does it all costs to avoid running, but obviously when it opens up, he has to do it. Now, these aren't design runs, right? There's a difference, and this, I think you're referring to Lamar Jackson, the difference between Russell Wilson scrambling because no one's open and he has to versus design runs. They're not design runs. He accounted for 95% of their offense, by the way, this weekend. By the way, DK Metcalf, congrats, dude, you're good, man. I like watching you play.
Are you still using that nickname, Decaf Metcalf?
Oh, sorry. Decaf Metcalf. Sorry, I said DK, but DK.
But he's decaf not decaf Metcalf anymore. He's like a double shot of espresso now.
Espresso Metcalf?
That doesn't sound as good. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to work on that one. Put that in the file with the Joe Judge puns. We'll come up with something.
Joe Judge was a special teams coordinator for both Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. That's his thing.
So he's just the most boring person on earth. Probably. He's never been late to a meeting. That's all we know about the guy.
Probably. Ugh. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Moving along, another guy who came up under Belichick and now looks like a winner. Odds, Mike Vrabel puts on pads and tackles Lamar Jackson himself this weekend. 1%.
Very high.
You think it might happen? Okay, me too.
I, as much as Titans fans annoy me on Twitter, I think Vrabel said he'd cut something off of his body if they won the Super Bowl. So I kind of have to root for him to see if he'd actually do that.
I'm pretty sure he did say that. He was obviously kidding, we think. But
I mean, at that point, he's been married a while. He's got multiple kids. Does he really need the tip of it?
I mean, I guess if you're going to do it with the right anesthesia and proper surgery, you're in. I mean, he's a successful guy. I'm sure he could get the best medical care. It's a real question. Would he consider it? I mean, I wouldn't, but I'm not Mike Vrabel. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, OK. So you think let me ask you this, a real question, not about the man's manhood. Is being a player's coach, is being a rah-rah guy who meets the players halfway to the sideline, high-fives them all, slaps them on the ass, having a scowl on your face all the time, is all being young, frankly, just being a young guy, is that helpful? Like, do players really respond to that? Because that's the type of BS we say. But
I think it depends on the coach, man. It really does. I think that young coaches can bring a lot of energy, and Vrabel having, you know, being a former player. But look, Andy Reid is not Vrabel and people respect him. I think there's no one size fits all, honestly. There really isn't.
But I mean, these guys on the team grew up watching him do special stuff in Super Bowls.
That doesn't matter.
That does not matter. Did you ever play for a former player who, you know?
I mean, I played, Andy Heck was my offensive line coach in Kansas City. He was number one draft pick in like 1985, played like 15 years in the NFL. I mean, obviously, it was great that he was he understood the game because he played, so he didn't give you a lot of crap if you screwed up in certain situations. By the way, Greg Bedard tweets out, and this is to your point about Joe Judge as we continue to bring him up through the podcast. Judge is a really good coach who will be good in the room, but this might be a little early for him. He's not exactly Mr. Personality.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I mean, if Belichick and Saban have passed him back and forth, personality is definitely not a specialty.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Last over-under of the day, and then we'll get to some social stuff. Tua draft selection. He officially declared. We all thought it was coming, but it's official now. He's leaving Bama. He's going to the draft. So draft selection for Tua before or after the 5th-and-a-half pick. Which side of that are you on?
I think he goes before. I think I said earlier that I didn't think he'd go in the first round, but I kind of feel like he will now.
But you know, some of the teams that would have been interested actually started winning some games. Like Miami was where everyone was thinking, and then they may not use the pick on him now. Like, where does he go?
So here's what I think could happen. I mean, Miami takes him early, you know, in the top five, I think five, and then he could sit on PUP for a year, or at least half a season at least, and get really healthy, and then come back for the end of season one. I mean, like, that makes a ton of sense if you're Miami.
So almost like redshirting him, essentially.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. And I think the value with the fifth year option and the potential of Tua and the ability to, you know, Miami still has a bunch of first round draft picks, so they can still get other players, right? Besides, you know, we got our quarterback, good. We still have two more first round draft picks. You know, we can either move up or down, or we can just draft two players in those spots. Like, they'll get plenty of talent anyways if they draft Tua at five. Like, I don't think it's an overreach if you think he's your guy.
All right, so it's Bengals, Skins, Lions, Giants,
I wouldn't
count
the Lions out either.
Yeah,
I don't know what Stafford's contract is like, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you'd be getting a guy with a dislocated hip to sit behind a guy with a broken back. And I'm not trying to make a joke about Matt Stafford, but honestly, he had a broken back. So they're obviously going to need a quarterback eventually. So Bengals, no way. We think they're going Burrow. Skins, they like Haskins. We think there'd be no point in bringing another young guy in. I think he slips past the Dolphins where the Dolphins move the pick. And I think, just like we talked about with Brady earlier, I think the Chargers make a reach here and just hope for the best. It's something. It's fresh blood that can help fill a stadium up. If it works, they got their guy forever. LA will love him. You know, he's from out here. Oh, well. This is the closest big city to where he grew up in Hawaii. I could see that happening before I see Miami, but who knows? Okay, let's wrap it up with a little bit of social here. You know what we do. We try to keep track of some things people are tweeting at you or in conversations you're engaged with. I'll read this one for you. It's from David Reese 92. How important are training staffs, and do players typically think about them at all when deciding what teams to sign with in free agency? That's an interesting question.
I would say probably no, because most people go where the money's at. But I think that, like with the Redskins, for example, who've now revamped their whole training staff, it just becomes an issue where if someone has an equal offer, they'll go somewhere else, obviously, right? But you really don't know a lot about a training staff till you get there. And now everyone has their own people, like they have their own, they have their own, rehab guys, they fly them in. So the training staff is not as important as it was in the past. I don't think it matters very much.
Oh, so Baker didn't screw up his chances of getting free agents when he threw his training staff under the bus?
I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Jeff, I think you've made us smarter today, not only with your clarifications on all the silly takes that swirl out there, but also with your breaking news. We covered Matt Rhule got hired by the Panthers and is going to make $60 million over 7 years. Someone named Joe Judge, who used to work for Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, will be the next coach of the New York Giants. This is odd now. We've got a few coaches in a row who are not big names ending up in New York. I don't know how that's going to land. We'll look for the New York Post tomorrow. And you helped us make a little few bets and pick some smart things for games coming this wild card weekend. Excuse me, divisional weekend.
Divisional
weekend. So thank you as always. You can sign us off, and I know you have another show on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll be back Thursday. This was a great show. We got a lot in here. It's fun to react to playoff weekend and coaches getting hired. Great time of year for the NFL. It's one of the better weeks and weekends. So glad you guys are able to join us. Find us, obviously, on iTunes, Google Play, Google Podcasts. Also, of course, The Athletic and TheAthletic.com. We'll be back Thursday. Take care, everyone.